Hi, I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. I'm a personal functional medicine practitioner for high performers and professional athletes. And I've worked with athletes in many different sports, from the U.S. sailing team to endurance sports and triathlon, CrossFit, and professional tennis players across the board in any sport. Maintaining a foundation of a healthy body and mind is crucial for long-term success. This is the podcast that will show you how to apply the principles of a healthy body and mindset to achieve high performance, all from the inside out. This is the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and I am really excited, actually, to talk about today's topic. It's all about sleep. And here's the reason why this is so important, right? If you have ever experienced any type of like anxiousness before races or competitions the next day, if you've ever had any like just high stress, I would be surprised if most of you haven't experienced some issues around sleep, right? Like it's really, really common to have some issues with sleep, as well as if you've lost sleep because of stress or anxiety, or if you are, you know, traveling a lot for your sport or for your job and you experience that jet lag. How to improve your sleep is just so important, right? And it's also something that is really critical for athletes, because there's a couple of different things that happen at night and during your sleep that help you with and will help you not only just with your health, but also with your sports performance. So we're going to dive in. I want you to imagine what life would be like if you had more energy, if you didn't have that like afternoon fatigue, where if you don't sleep very well, you might experience that like need for caffeine or some other boost towards the middle to end of the day when you might be doing a lot of your training. If you've ever felt that before, this could be a really great fit for you, as well as imagine if you felt more recovered the next day and the day after from your training, and what impacts that would have on your performance, as well as if you were able to accomplish more in your day because you had better quality sleep. Like those are some things that I think everybody would sort of like raise their hand, right? Also, I want you to imagine as well, if you could improve your sleep quality, just think about like how that would affect your sports performance. One of the things that I have experienced myself as an athlete is that when I don't sleep well, the first thing that I actually worry about and I get stressed about is how it's going to affect my training. And then also that, you know, I think this one's the worst of it all, is like when you are laying in bed the night before, you've probably gone to bed at like 7 or 8 PM and that might be your normal bedtime, or that might be like way earlier than you typically go to bed, but you know, you need to go to bed early because your Ironman is at 4 PM or 4 AM the next morning and you need to get a lot of sleep. Right. But then you can't sleep because you're stressed about it, or you're super excited or anxious about it the next day, or maybe you're just in a different environment, so your bed isn't super comfortable, or there's just like tons of sounds that you're like not used to, right? Like all of these things can go into this. And I know how it goes, because like this happens to me all the time. Like that excitement or stress or anxiety just like right before those race days can like, and then, you know, like the worst part about it is that like, it's stressful because you know, you need to sleep because you have this massive day ahead of you the next day. So we're going to get into sleep today and this, and what you can do to try to improve your sleep, especially at those times when, you know, maybe you are a good sleeper like I am, but as soon as that like race day comes, like you've got that anxiety the night before. So we're going to talk about some things that you can do to try to improve your sleep. We're also going to get into, like step number one, which is all about improving your quality of sleep. And in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a very, very easy, few very simple ways you can improve your sleep. And not just like in general, like this is going to take you a couple of weeks to apply, but like the things that I'm going to share with you, you should be able to apply literally tonight and have your best night's rest. You know, maybe you need to give it a couple of nights, but if you just kind of overall just kind of struggle with sleep, and if even better, if you have a way to track whether, like when you apply these things, whether your sleep improves, these are some things that should work right off the bat. So, and like, look, I know how this goes, right? Like I just kind of mentioned, I know how it goes as an athlete. I know what it's like to have those kind of anxieties type symptoms before race days, but also I know what it's like as an athlete who also is a business owner and CEO. Like, I know what that is like to try to do both things and then also have friends and then also have relationships and family. And maybe you're also a parent and a kid, and you may have kiddos that want to spend time with you and people that want to spend time with you. And sometimes it's just really hard to get all of that training done plus work, as well as spend time with your people. And here's the thing. What a lot of people do in order to get all of those things done is they sacrifice their sleep. And I have been there. Like, I tend to prioritize sleep, but I know what it's like to potentially need to just work later into the evening or get up a little bit earlier to try to get that training in. I mean, Ironman training, especially when you're trying to fit it in around a job, like, yeah, you can do an Ironman on 10 hours a week for sure of training, but most people will have the experience that they need to get even more training in than that, right? And so the training load gets deeper and higher and higher and higher as soon as you get closer and closer and closer to those events. And if you've got a lot going on at work or a lot going on in life, like, something's got to give, right? Like, especially if you're also doing your nutrition and need to be cooking and doing all the things. I don't know about you, but just even talking about this right now, like, it's a lot. But here's the thing, that may not be all of you, right? Like, in fact, you may be like me, where I prioritize sleep and I will sometimes miss training if there just isn't time for it in the day, because I would rather not sacrifice my sleep. Because I know that sleep is really important. And you know it, you know that sleep is important, but you still want to probably know how you can get the most out of your sleep. If you're in that scenario, we're going to talk about that today. I do this all the time. I'm constantly working on my sleep and biohacking my sleep and tracking it. We're going to talk about ways that you can track it today. Or maybe you have something super specific that's preventing you from sleeping well. Like, that might be hot flashes. That could be literally, I know this one, a mind that just as soon as you go to lay down at night, your mind just goes insane, right? Like, as soon as you're going to bed, all of the problems in the world, your brain wants to solve them right now. And it might be keeping you up at night. Or, you know, again, going back to that stress or anxiety before a race, like, I know all of those different scenarios. And and I've worked with a lot of athletes with a lot of those different scenarios. Maybe also you're kind of in the boat where you try to go to bed at the same time. You do all the night and morning routines and you take the sleepy time teas and you've done the melatonin and you've tried all of the things. You've done your meditation, your deep breathing exercises, and you've tried them all, right? But you're still waking up sometimes multiple times a night, and it just takes you a lot to try to get back to sleep. And sometimes that might even look like hours. I find that to be incredibly infuriating, right? Like, if I get into that time frame where I'm going to be awake for multiple hours, and especially if I know I've got like an event coming up later that day, right? The next day, or I've got a big training thing that I need to accomplish, like, and I've got, you know, workouts and things that I need to do, it can cause me a lot of stress and anxiety and just angst if I'm just up for hours. You know, it drives me crazy. And so I really try hard to avoid those things happening. And I've definitely done and implemented a lot of those things that help to improve your sleep. But that's what I'm going to share with you today. So it's also possible that you have experienced that, like, sleep or lack of sleep is something that has held you back, right? Like, your performance, you've noticed that you are still not quite reaching those levels that you literally know that you're capable of. But part of it is because of some of these big lifestyle factors or these lifestyle habits and routines that can have such a significant impact on your performance. So the problem, all of those, there's so many different things that I just mentioned, right? Like, if you've had any issue with sleep, like, you fall into that category. The problem when we don't sleep, though, is it affects two specific categories that are very specific to athletes. Number one is memory and cognition. One of the things that happens at night when you sleep is your brain is processing everything that you've learned for the day. So that's a really important piece that we need to have happen. The second thing that happens is it's body repair. Your body goes through a certain time of sleep, and that is all about repairing your muscles, your joints, your bones, tissues, all of that. So there's a lot of physical tissue repair that happens during sleep. And that's why this is so, so, so critical for athletes. And also they're really critical for your high performers, right? Like this, if you are high, if you would consider yourself a high performer in your life, business owner, or you're a elite athlete or pro athlete, or like you just, you function at that high level, this is going to be something that's really important, right? Sleep is going to be something that's super critical for, you know, every aspect of your life. If we don't sleep, then we just really don't recover well. And it's through recovery and repair that we see our performance markers improve. Like, I think one of the things that gets athletes all messed up all the time is that we think that all of our adaptation to exercise and all of our benefits that we get from exercise, getting stronger, getting faster, all of those things happen during training. That's what everybody thinks, but that's actually not where you get the adaptations to exercise. That's not where you get faster. That's not where you get stronger. What actually happens is you've got to do the training in order to put stress into the system. And then it's through your body adapting to that stress that gets you faster and stronger. But that adaptation doesn't happen in training. It happens the rest of your day and at night when you sleep. So that's why some of this stuff is just so critical, right? Another problem that's created by lack of sleep is that it really messes with our hormones. And hormones and this whole like sleep, managing your hormones and helping out with all of that, it impacts your appetite. It impacts your body composition. It's really important for maintaining both appetite and body composition. It's also really critical for keeping cortisol at the right level. So for those of you who are like, what's cortisol? Cortisol is your stress hormone. Your stress hormone is really important for multiple things. It's important for what we call your diurnal patterns, which is like how you get up in the morning, literally what wakes you up in the morning and what helps you go to bed at night. Those things are driven in part by cortisol. Now, also cortisol is your stress hormone. So if you're living your life in this like high stress mode all the time, cortisol can be running rampant in your body and just going all over the place and doing things and not have anything controlling it, especially if you also don't sleep well. And then what happens when cortisol is just doing its thing and having a heyday, what it does is it causes tissue breakdown. And yes, that does mean muscle and joint tissue breakdown. So again, if you're experiencing injuries, illnesses, if you're having issues like with inflammation in your joints, one of the things that you might want to look at is your sleep quality. And you may sleep for like 8 or 9 hours, but if you're not sleeping well for 8 or 9 hours, like, yeah, we're going to have a problem. So in other words, if you can't repair, right, then the processes in the body, including your hormones that have an inflammatory breakdown effect on your body, are going to do their thing with literally nothing to stop them. So what I'm going to do in the rest of this episode is I'm going to give you two steps of part of my framework of what I do when I work with athletes. And I have many of them. I have 5 specifically in the sleep portion of my Fit and Healthy Pro method. It's just in that sleep section. There's so many things that we dive into, but the reason why I'm only going to cover a few today is because they are definitely by far, especially with like working with athletes, they are the most helpful. When I recommend these and they go and they apply them and they do it, most, I would say like 70 to 80% see improvements in their sleep. And if they don't, then there's a few other things that we go into, right? But for the majority of you that are listening to this, if you have problems with sleep, like these should help. And if you kind of fall into that category where they don't, then there's some other things that we can definitely do to help you improve your sleep. So, and the other thing too, is they're super easy to apply. You're going to be able to apply them tonight. The first step is let's talk about sleep tracking devices. I know that a lot of athletes love their data. I know it because I've got like all of the things. And this tracking data, it can be extremely helpful, but it also can just, it can work against you as well. So let's talk about how to use this appropriately, and then we'll go from there. So you can track sleep with an Oura ring. You can track it with, which is kind of like, I would say your more expensive way of tracking things, is you can track it with Whoop, which I would say is kind of like mid-level. And then many of your smartwatches, like your Garmin's, Apple Watch, things like that can Fitbit, like all of those will track your sleep as well. And they'll give you data about your sleep. The other one that I use that's also more or less free is an app called HRV or Elite HRV. It doesn't necessarily track your sleep, but it will track your heart rate variability and your resting heart rate, which can be really critical as far as pairing with sleep to make sure that your body's not getting overloaded with inflammation and training. And then that's, you know, potentially causing issues. The Elite HRV app will, you can use it with a heart rate monitor. And then that is one way that you can track how things are going. You can then pair that with, you know, if you just tracked your sleep in the morning and just said, okay, like, I feel like I slept well, I woke up pretty energized, like I'm not feeling super groggy. And then you look at like your heart rate variability, your resting heart rate, that, and then also stand up, move around, see how you feel, if you're super sore or not, like all of those things can go into determining how you're, like how ready your body is to do it, the training and all the things that you have to do in the day. But let's talk about like what sleep actually means. So like when you're looking at that sleep app, if you have tracked your sleep before, let's talk about what you're looking at in those cases. Okay. So we have light sleep, we have REM sleep, we have slow wave sleep, and then we also have longer REM sleep. REM sleep is when you dream. This is the most important piece for memory consolidation and for learning and all of that. This is when your brain is doing a lot of work trying to just process what's happened in the day. This REM sleep technically should get longer as you go throughout the night. What you may see on your apps is that you'll start out with super short REM sleep, like maybe 10 minutes. Okay. And then that marker will go up into a light sleep. And then it'll drop down into what we call slow wave sleep, and then into longer REM sleep after that. But at the beginning of the night, your REM sleep might literally be just about 10 minutes, and that's totally normal and fine. So that's what you should expect to see. And then what you may see is that as you get deeper and deeper into the night, that REM sleep starts to get longer, and it can be anywhere between 90 minutes. Usually for athletes, we'll see it to be around 60 to 100 minutes. And overall, REM sleep should take about 20% of your night, whole night's rest and whole night's sleep. So that's healthy. If you see that, you're like, that's really, really good. The next one that we want to talk about is slow wave sleep. So slow wave sleep is when tissue regeneration happens. So this is that really important stuff for athletes. You build and repair bone in this phase, you build muscles, and you also get an immune boost here as well. So if this is like full repair mode, this slow wave sleep should take around 25 to 30% of your total night's sleep. Slow wave sleep should be about 25 to 30%. One thing that I do want to talk about is one mistake that some people make when they take melatonin for sleep. Now, for some of you, I wouldn't fuss with your melatonin. If it works really well for you and you're liking it, then don't change anything. And it can be helpful for some people. Okay. This can also be something that is really helpful for jet lag and stuff like that. But there are some cases where melatonin can not be super great. Like, especially if you've taken it and it makes you super groggy. Those are some cases where, you know, we want to be careful with melatonin. In the program, I discuss how hormones affect our sleep. But because like, yeah, your sleep can get worse, right? So one of the things that we see, especially with hormones and with female athletes in the reproductive phase, is that during different phases of the menstrual cycle, you will have areas where you're not sleeping as well. So like, for example, between your period and ovulation, we have a tendency to sleep a lot better. And a lot of things just tend to be more on point towards us being able to absorb as much training as we possibly can throw at our bodies. But as soon as we get on the other side of ovulation and hormones are high, we're going to see changes. And REM sleep is one of the things that we see lower. We see less of that. And sleep overall is just affected. And for my perimenopausal and postmenopausal women that are listening to this podcast, one of the reasons why hormones can affect our sleep is because estrogen literally flatlines after that, right? And that affects how your body produces serotonin. And then that can lead to lower production of melatonin. See, it's all connected. Isn't that cool? But what people do is they take melatonin because just about everybody recommends it for sleep. And then what most people don't know is that taking that external, that exogenous melatonin is in that like tablet form is not the same. It just doesn't work the same as the melatonin that your body produces naturally. And what you may notice in those cases as well is that it makes you feel like groggy. It makes you feel hungover the next day. Like the next morning, you just feel like it just like, ugh, takes forever to get going. You just don't feel very good. So either you have continued taking it because you have found that it's really helpful to get you to sleep, but maybe you just don't feel very good the next day and it takes you a bit to get going, or maybe you've stopped taking it. But one of the things that we can do is we can try to actually raise melatonin naturally. And there are a few ways that we can do that. One of them is cold tart cherry juice. Now there's a reason for the cold bit, but tart cherry juice works with your body's natural melatonin. So it actually works to help your body produce its natural melatonin. So unlike the tablets where the dosage can be very, very different per person and we, you know, all sorts of things that make you not feel very good, with tart cherry juice, what it just does is it just helps your body be able to produce the natural melatonin that it has. So that is one thing. The cold is another thing, especially for my women out there who are dealing with hot flashes. Anything that you can do to lower your core temperature before going to bed can improve your sleep. This is why you often hear like, it's really good to keep the windows open and, you know, try to keep things as cold as possible, is because one of the things that actually affects sleep in the wrong way is when it's super, super hot out. And most people have probably experienced that. Like you just don't sleep very well when you go to a hot climate, if you're not used to it. Right. But trying to get it as cold as possible can be extremely helpful for hot flashes or for just generally trying to sleep a little bit better. Another thing that you can try, and this is one that you need to talk to your doctor first before you go and just get it. Like it is something that you can get off the shelves for sure. But 5-HTP is a precursor to serotonin. And that by taking 5-HTP, one of the things that it can do, because it raises up your serotonin levels, it can then help your body be able to produce more melatonin from that serotonin, right? These are all neurotransmitters in the brain. But I do really recommend that you talk to your doctor first, because 5-HTP can absolutely interact with some of your medications or other supplements. And there's some other things that just are not, like there can be some side effects to 5-HTP that are not ideal. And so again, it can be a very, very helpful supplement. It's also one that I sometimes recommend for people who have like SAD, so seasonal affective, where you just, if you're like me and you live in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, where it's just super dark in the winter and it just can be really, really hard to get through the hard winters. And sometimes that can lead to some depression, some anxiety, things like that. 5-HTP can be one of those like happy things. Like I call them, it's like my happy cocktail of like vitamin D and 5-HTP and things like that. And those can be really, really effective for helping to kind of turn things around a little bit. But again, you really want to talk to your doctor before you introduce that. So those right there are two super simple tips that you can pretty much apply right away and see if it improves your sleep. And here's what I would do. Two things. Number one, put a piece of paper by your bedside. I mentioned this already, but I'm going to mention it again. Put a piece of paper by your bedside table. And when you wake up in the morning, rate your sleep. Like you can do a happy face, you can do a sad face, and then all of them in between. You can do 10 as like the best sleep ever, 0 as worst sleep ever, and you can rate it. You can also write down just really briefly, like how your energy is. Do you feel really rested? Are you feeling super good? These are all different things that you can just write down super fast right before you get going with the rest of your day. The other thing you can do as well is look at your sleep app. There's a couple of reasons why I say to track your sleep and also just like with a sleep app, but also just record it naturally. Because sometimes what happens with my athletes is I have them apply all these different things and they wake up in the morning and they feel better. They feel like they slept better. They're subjective is what we would call it. They feel like they have more energy and they're feeling great. But then as soon as we go to the sleep app, it doesn't really look like anything has changed. In fact, you might actually think that their sleep isn't very good, right? It hasn't changed very much from the previous. But the point though, is that if you try something and it helps with how you generally feel in your day, that's a really great place to start. What we want is improvement. So even if that's in how you feel, that's what we want. Now, some of you may also be doing a few things, and these are some things that may be affecting your sleep in a negative way. Like you might be eating before bed. You might be drinking caffeine, but especially after 12, if you're drinking caffeine after 12 o'clock, but some of you may be so sensitive to caffeine that any type of caffeine is going to affect your sleep. Also drinking alcohol, all of those things affect your sleep quality. And again, any number of those things are things that you can absolutely do if you want to keep them in your routine, right? Like I'm not telling you what to do and how to live your life, but if performance is something that's really, really important to you and getting this quality sleep is really important to you, then these are some things that you might try removing to see if they help, right? Or I have something special for those of you that travel for your sport and that are often fighting jet lag. Both of those right there obviously can have a negative effect of sleep, right? Because it's going to have a negative. So, okay, here, let me take a step back. Jet lag or traveling for your sport and being in different time zones, as well as eating before bed, drinking caffeine or drinking alcohol, all of those things can have a negative effect on slow wave sleep. Remember, slow wave sleep, what we just talked about above, is the sleep that's really, really important for tissue repair. So what happens is you spend more time in the part of your nervous system that's in sympathetic mode. So this is what happens, right? So when you do these things where they're potentially preventing your sleep, and obviously I understand that, like, if you're traveling for your sport or you're fighting jet lag, like this is something you can't really avoid, right? But eating before bed, drinking caffeine, drinking alcohol, when you do those things and it affects your slow wave sleep, what happens is you end up spending way more time in the nervous system aspect that's what we call sympathetic mode. And sympathetic mode is where we're in this sort of like fight or flight. What ends up happening is like you kind of only have one mode of function, which is survival. Like how do we improve? How do we get ourselves out of this exact situation? And that is like the mode in which you function. So think about it like this. If you are in business and part of your job is to be creative and you're spending a lot of your time super stressed due to your training and also due to your job and then life and yada, yada, you're just kind of always in this sort of fight or flight stressed mode. You actually might be having a negative impact on your business in the sense that like you're not able to be super creative. Whereas if you can spend a little bit more time in parasympathetic mode, that prioritizes tissue repair. That's also a place where you're in a period of rest and creativity. So being in the parasympathetic mode more often provides a lot more opportunities and solutions versus when you're in sympathetic mode and your primary concern is survival. This is another area where we see major and huge improvements in sleep is by helping the body spend more time in that parasympathetic mode where you have that more creativity, more resting, more digesting, and less time in survival mode. But here's the thing, that often comes from working on other things, not just sleep, right? That comes from working on gut health. It comes from working on your overall nutrition, comes from stress management. And it's all part of the reason why I often see sleep improvements in athletes that I work with, even though we're not directly working on sleep. But so for my athletes that travel for their sport, one of the things we do is we work on grounding exercises. We work on deep breathing exercises. We might even incorporate some meditation or create some very specific patterns and thought patterns and things so that it really helps to overcome some of that anxiety like the night before, especially if that's one of the things that you deal with. But I'll give you a few tips here around that to help, especially if you have jet lag and you experience a lot of issues around that. So, well, I mean, all of us do, right? Anytime you travel to a different time zone, you've got to adjust. So what happens when you travel to a new time zone is it does mess with what we call your circadian rhythm. This is your wake and sleep cycle. I mentioned it already above when I was talking about cortisol, that stress hormone, and then melatonin, which helps you to go to bed. And basically, these are basically just physiological processes, and it's how your brain, your muscles work. It's how your bowel movements work. It's, it controls actually a lot about how your body functions. But what happens is as soon as you go through two time zones, either way, east or west, your body your body's in the new time zone, but like everything that's going on with your processes is in the old time zone, right? So you have to adjust because your body is not necessarily in, like, you're not in the right alignment as far as like where your time zone is. And the thing is, what I've noticed particularly is way worse when you travel east. So there's a couple things that I have athletes do, and I will mention a few of them here, but this is also a plan that I put together for my athletes, especially when I'm working with them one-on-one. But you can also find part of my protocol as well in the Fit and Healthy Pro method. But one really important step is not to go to sleep the first day that you arrive. Like, as soon as you get there, you're going to want to go to bed. And one of the most critical things is not to. This is okay. So we used to travel to Norway when I was a kid. And one of the things that we did is, like, as soon as you landed, like if it was middle of the day, it was a battle. You could not go to sleep until that sun goes down. So if you got there at 9 a.m., like, and it's technically like nighttime where, you know, where I was coming from in Seattle, you don't go to bed. You stay up until that sunset. And this is something that is really, really critical, especially if you're traveling east, right? The other thing is that you also want to make sure that you are prioritizing sleep and hydration a few days before you travel. So for my athletes that do this often, you're traveling a lot, or maybe you travel a lot for your job, right? One of the things that you can do is really make sure that you prioritize sleep and stay super hydrated a couple days before you get on the flight, and then right before getting on the flight. And then also, this is so critical, stay hydrated during travel. One of the things that a lot of people don't do is they don't drink enough water and stay hydrated because you don't want to get up and go to the bathroom. Like, that's why I don't. But the thing is like, as soon as that dehydration starts to kick in, and we know that, like, as soon as you fly, dehydration happens. But as soon as that happens, the dehydration for sure worsens jet lag. The key though, is that light really helps. Watching that sunrise and watching that sunset is part of what triggers your body's ability to produce cortisol and melatonin. And it starts to get that circadian rhythm into balance. You really want that natural light. And if you can get some light exercise and be outside on the ground, take your shoes off, that those grounding exercises can be extremely helpful with getting your body into that new rhythm as soon as possible. The other things you can do as well is that tart cherry juice. You can drink that tart cherry juice that night to boost those natural levels of melatonin to help you get on track with your new time zone. Okay, so I loaded this episode up with a ton of tips. I also gave you some examples of things that you may want to stop doing if you would like to improve your sleep. So there's a lot more to cover, like, what about protein before bed? What if you wake up hungry in the middle of the night? What if what about screen time and blue light? And what about body cooling strategies and all of these different things? What about how to utilize sleep and recovery to maximize your performance? Like, we talked about a lot of different ways that you can improve your sleep quality so that you can prevent injury and illness, but you can also improve your performance by optimizing your recovery. But you can see how if we get sleep on point, it's also going to affect the other areas of your life, right? Like, it's also going to affect how we work on your hormones, right? It's going to affect and how we get them, your hormones back into balance if they were off balance, right? It's also going to help by improving your gut health and and sleep, as well as, and those things also can affect your irritability, depression, anxiety, energy, and changes in the brain. So you can see how all these different areas are all connected, right? So if you want to learn more about how you can improve your sleep and get the next steps that we didn't really talk about today in this episode, and all the other helpful parts of the Fit and Healthy Pro method, like improving your gut health, fixing nutrient deficiencies, fixing fueling and hydration issues to stop bonking and cramping in those super low energy, really painful, awful times when you don't fuel right and you get to the end of that marathon or that Ironman and just everything just falls apart. And if you have gone from like aid station to aid station, you're just jumping from one bathroom to the next, right? All of those different things are things that we cover in that pro method, as well as we also talk about hormone issues around birth control and around and like how to train and fuel with your hormones. Those are all very specific things that are opportunities for you to dial in to get the most out of your training. And most importantly, it's part of how we get you from that kind of fit and fatigued state where just stuff is just not quite right. You're seeing performance declines. You've got that like inflamed body. Just stuff is just not where it should be. You may be really, really fit, but things just are not, that your body's just not keeping up with you, right? To getting you to the point where you're both healthy and fit. And what ultimately is happening is you're being able to achieve your peak performance. And you're also really being able to perform symptom free. Like all of those things are what we want to create for you, right? So what you can do is you can head over to nwfunctionalmedicine.com and you can book a free consultation and strategy call with me. And you can also go to drkirsten.com/finishstrong and you can get a free guide on like where to start, how to start breaking all these pieces down. And we'll go into more detail there. So thank you for joining me and I will be back next week. Take care. Hey, did you know that up to 70% of athletes may be deficient in at least one micronutrient, if not potentially deficient in two or more? Micronutrient deficiencies like vitamin D, iron, calcium, vitamin E, B12, B9 are super common in athletes, and they can lead to things like fatigue. They can lead to injuries and fractures, getting sick a lot and missing practice, to unexplained pain and a lot more. On the flip side though, athletes who corrected nutrient deficiencies saw improvements in VO2 max, vertical jump, grip strength, force, improved delayed onset muscle soreness, and a lot more. That's why I created the Strong to the Finish Line free guide for athletes like you to be able to train and compete symptom-free so that you can have the confidence and the power to perform at your best. Get this guide for free at drkirsten.com/finishstrong.